This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Emily Thompson from Wellington, Florida, and you are listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for January 6, episode 1076. This episode is brought to you by S Equestrian. Good morning, Horse World.
Oh my God, it's Tuesday.
It's top-class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. Welcome back, Emily, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Happy to be back.
Well, it's good
just
to have you back.
Started.
Talking about jumping and everything Wellington right now down there. I know we just had the Trump show down there, so the season has gotten off to a start.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just thinking about that in your little sound clips in the beginning about the pure theater. It really is. That's the cool thing about the jumping ponies. You really can. Like, when I was there, I got the press passes, which I love, going to these events. And, I mean, that's the coolest thing about the show ponies is you really can put them anywhere. You can, I mean, the ring was not big. It was, you know, on his front lawn, essentially. And, but they jump, you know, and if the footing's okay, they can do it. And the spectator draw is unbelievable. I mean, it really is just the coolest to see when they at like Central Park, you know, same thing. I love it. It was very, very cool.
Not to mention the weather is not bad.
Totally. Which is like, you know, okay, people think we're spoiled, but the reality is those are athletes and they can't really perform unless they're in reasonable conditions, not to the top of their ability, which is top sport jumping. That's what we're doing. So the weather is a factor.
Yeah, well, we've had some half decent weather here in Florida. It's been pretty good. So, been actually kind of hot up here in Ocala for a couple days last week. But we've cooled off again and back to just beautiful weather in Florida, and everybody else in the country is now really pissed at us. So, let that go. Yeah, of course, Emily is with us for the jumping episode, the first Tuesday of every month, and been doing this for quite a while, and we really appreciate that. We're coming down to see you. Like the first second weekend of February, I believe.
Woo, so, it's going to be so much fun. Going to show you around.
We're going to get to see Reese and Philip from the Dressage Show. They're both going to be there, so we can all get to hang out. And I think that, and Jennifer's never been to Wellington. I've only been to a couple of the grounds at Wellington. I haven't been to all of them, so it should be fun to check out both dressage and jumping.
Yeah, it's huge. It really is an experience. It's like Disney World. You got to go to all of it.
Well, I know
so
that
when you go down
Jennifer's going
to
want to see some hot polo
there.
Players, right? Go ahead.
You what now?
I have a question. When at
yes.
WEF, are the jumpers and the dressage folks, are they completely separated, or do you see a little bit of intermingling between stables and showgrounds and that sort of thing, or is it very much segregated?
I mean, a little bit, like you'll see a few dressage horses on the bridle paths, you know, the bridle paths crisscross all of Wellington. They go by all the canals and you can pretty much get anywhere from anywhere inside Wellington, which it's not a huge town. But there are dressage barns there because they have the global dressage is right there. I mean, just a half mile from the Wellington, the Big West grounds for the jumping. But, I mean, you do see it. You know they're here. You see them in the tax store and everything, but it does feel kind of segregated. I think a lot of it, honestly, is the, you know, what we all need, like as far as the farms go and everything, a dressage ring. I mean, mm-hmm. every time I go to look or rent a barn, I'm like, oh, it's a dressage ring. You know, like it's just not big enough, and they don't need the jumps in there. So as far as, like, you know, cohabitating mm-hmm. together. I don't think there's a lot of that, although you see it a little bit. Like, a couple of my good friends do dressage, and I've stayed there, and it's totally fine. But it's interesting because we are packed in here like sardines, but you do definitely have that sort of division between the disciplines.
Now, maybe sometime in the future we could chat about this with somebody who's an expert in the field. Are there very different footing requirements as far as the show arenas for dressage versus show jumping? Or am I asking the wrong person?
Probably asking the wrong person, but I don't think it's huge. I think they can handle a little deeper than we can. I think mainly that's it, is the deepness. You know, we like it, and everyone's using the synthetic footing, so it does kind of matter. Like, when that stuff gets deep for us, it's no good for the jumping. But I think they like it a little deeper. But I'll give my disclaimer. I'm probably not the person to ask. I should have given that.
And of course, I'll stop.
I'll stop asking quiz questions.
Give me my expert opinion and a disclaimer.
There we go.
And of course, you're both forgetting about the hot polo players, which are also wandering around Wellington.
Oh my
at
gosh.
This point. So.
It's true. I mean, the polo farms are unreal. Like, when you're driving around, I mean, you got to just like Google Earth Wellington and look at an aerial view and just kind of get a feeling for it. But those, I mean, the big polo barns, they own like 5 and 6 fields to those farms because they rotate the fields. So it's like you'll be driving and all of a sudden you just like happen upon just this monstrosity and like herds of galloping horses out there. It's impressive. It's like, wow. I mean, it's a whole other world. We're a very individual sport, and same with our horses. And that's like on the masses, like they're assembling whole teams, and it's wild.
Well, I know we want to try and get over to the harness racing track. We have some listeners that listen over there to the Horses in the Morning. So we're going to try and get over there and check that out, too, while we're down there. So that should be fun.
Fun.
Look forward to that. Well, Jennifer, we have a busy show. What's coming up today?
On today's S Equestrian Jump Into Tuesday episode, we will gallop through the start flags with Jennifer Woods Media, and she has the morning news for us, the opening week of WEF, the 2015 edition. And then Cliff Schott has some common thread horsemanship, followed by Luann Smith with her product pick of the month with the Equestrian Corner. And then Kristen Werner-Leschny from the Jockey Club has what's new at the Thoroughbred Incentive Program, which seems to be really gaining a lot of speed. And then, nearing the finish flags, we have the youngest training tip ever on the Horse Radio Network from Gigi Kilder. And then, exiting the arena, Jen Blumenthal of BarnManager.com has the places to see and be seen at WEF. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And again, it's packed.
Well, let's do this. Let's get to, we always start your reports when you're in Wellington with the number of cars left over at the bar in the morning report, and that would be for Monday.
Yes. So I just want to give a shout out to our community here. It was disappointing. I was disappointed. I tried not to be. I was. There were not as many cars out there as we were really used to by the end of circuit. So step it up, people. We'll be back there. We're going to be back there on Monday to check it out. And we're going to give the report next month. So let's get a little more partying out there.
And what we're talking about is a certain bar that that everybody gathers at usually on Sunday nights because everybody has Monday off down there. And Emily drives by on Monday morning to give us a report of how many cars are left in the lot. So that's what that's all about. But, you know, it's early in the season, so I think they just haven't started yet.
That's,
you know, everybody's
what I
still
myself.
Concentrating
yeah.
on riding and getting settled in, but that'll end in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I told myself. Don't get discouraged. You just come back next week. There's going to be twice as many cars. I like it when the ones are zigzagged parked up on the lawn. The ones that are up on the hills out in front, because you know that like they just like wedged it in between a spot where there really probably wasn't even a spot. Like, you can just tell by the placement, like, this was packed.
Now, is this do jumpers, are you seeing a lot of fancy cars, or is it all just pickup trucks?
Oh, no, you see them all. You see them all.
Yeah. You see the fancy cars and the pickup trucks and everything. I know here in Ocala now, because everybody has moved in. And I guess the Longines show has moved up to Ocala now this year from Wellington. And, you know, so that one's coming up here. And there's a lot of horse trailers in town right now. So the horse people have moved in. We're seeing a lot more riding pants at the grocery stores. And
wide butt trucks. Lots of wide butt trucks.
Yeah, wide butt trucks. Yep, a lot of dualies in town now that we don't see
that
normally.
That must be how the locals know we're coming. I mean, it literally is like a sea of dualies that come. And you think, like, how can so many people be comfortable driving such a huge vehicle as their just get-around-town vehicle? You know, and, like, you know they're not. Like, it's probably not even safe, you know. Half of these are, like, you know, probably teenage girls.
And that's always right. One of the things we get a charge out of when we're at the gas station. You pull in, and every pump is occupied because it gets so crazy busy down here. And you look across, and there's six or seven giant pickup trucks. And these little teeny, tiny girls jump out of them.
Totally. It's so – and, like, the roads down here aren't really made for it.
Really.
Yeah.
Now, the area where you're in, therefore – yeah, where you're living, they're more than 1.5-lane roads. You must have to pull off when there's two dualies coming at each other.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I know. It's just sort of like, I mean, it's a hazard out there.
Well, now, before we run out of time, Jennifer's going to get our first guest set up. You've told me before the show that you've been riding some ponies.
Oh, my gosh. It's true. I'm the pony queen of Loxahatchee. That's what I've been jokingly calling myself. I'm like the most ignorant pony person ever. I didn't even really have a lot of ponies. But as everybody knows, I'm not the biggest person, so it would, in theory, make sense that I would ride ponies. However, that's not been my experience. So a good friend of mine, I've known her for ages. She used to have a barn full of top jumpers for herself. Now she has kids, two little kids. And whether she likes it or not, it seems that her barn has turned into some sort of pony business because, you know, the kids outgrow ponies. They need new ponies. Ponies are available for lease or sale, you know, whatever. So I was going to help her out. And I mean, it turns out that everybody wants to buy a pony, I think, all the time. It's crazy. It's crazy. So we're selling ponies. More ponies are coming in. I'm riding so many ponies every day. It's outrageous. But hey, I mean, it's business. And I have to say, it is very cute because you get to deal with the kids. And as long as you have good ponies, and ours are good, you know, you hear out there, like, I mean, ponies can really be rotten. I didn't really realize. But these are very good. Yeah, really bad, right? I mean, just they're about the
ponies
worst.
Ponies are experts at the stop dead and throw the rider over the top.
Oh yeah,
they are
like
experts.
They know.
Duck the head. They are so good at that.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's a trip being down there at the pony ring, watching everybody else's ponies go to.
What kind of ponies are good jumpers or hunters?
Well, I mean, various kinds. What you see are actually really good a lot are these imported dressage ponies because they've got the movement, they've got the flat work, and they're fairly broke, so they are easy to ride between the fences. So even if they don't have any jumping experience and you start putting them to the jumps, they're quite good at it, and they just kind of get on with it, lead changes and all. So you see a lot of that. We have a few quite a few branded, like German and Rhinelander horses that are pony horses that are in, so they're imports. So you see those, but then you also see like the American bred Welsh ponies, the Farnley ponies and the blue ponies and all of this. You see them all, but they need to be good. I mean, they really need to be good citizens to take a small child, 6 years old, 8 years old. I mean, these are little kids. Our little walk trot boy, I mean, he's 6 years old. He does the trot cross rails. Like, that needs to be a good pony.
Now, are you looking at small ponies? Are you looking at larger ponies, all-size ponies?
All-size ponies. The pony of the week is a green medium. That's what everybody wants. But last week it was a large. Who knows? It'll continue. But we have small, mediums, and large.
13 to 14 hands? Medium of 13 to 14 hands?
I'll admit to you, I really am bad with the heights. Like, I'm fairly ignorant, which is why the whole thing is hilarious. But
getting there. That's why you're not, that's what makes you not a true pony person. Us pony people, we worry about hands. And let me tell you, all of those segments count. If it's 14.1 or, like, my pony, I think probably right now is about 12.3. So, you know,
medium.
You know, he's just under 13 is how I'd like to say it. Because it makes them sound bigger. So that we worry about those things. You know, they have to sound big, especially if it's a boy with a boy pony. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Well, even just having a pony, these are important. But they just,
I love ponies. You know, I love ponies, so I'm glad to hear ponies are making a comeback. And that also means that the industry is doing well, because if people are looking for ponies, that means that the industry is doing well, right now.
You're
so,
right. You're
good.
Right. And I've heard that sales are picking up. So, yep, we are happy.
Very good. Well, there's somebody that I'm sure could help us with that.
Woo! Yes, we're very excited. This is our first opportunity to have Jennifer Wood herself come onto the show and give us the news blast. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
This is great. We're really excited to hear sort of the lowdown, what's going on out there, since you've got your ear to the ground, and this is sort of a big week, right? This is the kickoff of WEF 2015.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's come around again so quickly. You know, it feels like we were just finishing up in March, and now here we are again at the beginning of January, ready to go for 12 weeks.
It's very exciting. And the showgrounds looks great. The footing's good. I've been over there a little bit. I mean, we feel ready over there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we've put in a lot of time and effort and money over the, you know, over the summer and the fall, really upgrading our footing this year. So that's been a huge thing for us, you know, listening to competitors, talking to them, and finding out how they feel about the footing. You know, the hunters like it one way, the jumpers like it differently. So we've adjusted the footing in all 12 of our rings to make sure that it's at its best for this year.
That's very exciting because, I mean, that is, as a competitor, excuse me, and owning my own horses, it matters. I mean, I scratch over the footing at various locations if it's not right all the time. So, yeah, to hear that, that is what will keep the people coming back. And for sure, the high-end competitors. I mean, we have such an international crowd. Tell us about that. What's the landscape down here in Wellington? We've got top riders and horses.
Yeah, it's huge. And it just seems like more and more people come every year, you know, looking for the opportunity to compete here, you know, along with 11 weeks of CSI rated competition. We have, I think, 48 FEI ranking classes throughout the season, which is huge for the international riders. You know, just to be able to come and stay in one place and not have to move from week to week. You know, their horses can settle in and learn and grow, and they get to know them better while they're here, and then they get the chance to get points to really increase their ranking, which helps when they go to a lot of the shows in Europe, only take the top 30 riders in the world, and they do it based on ranking points. So a lot of riders get their points here.
Yeah, now, Jennifer, last year we had a lot of the international riders coming over to take our money home, and they did a very good job of that. Do we have a lot of them this year, too?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have just as many as last year, some of the top riders. You know, we have Eric Lamaze coming down from Canada. We have Meredith Michaels Bierbaum over from Germany. Ben Mayer from Great Britain. You'll see a lot of the same faces. Rodrigo Pessoa. So it's, you know, top riders that'll be here again. And then, you know, we talk about top riders, but then we have in the U.S. Three of the top 12 riders in the world. We have Kent Farrington, who's number 2 right now. McLean Ward, who was at number 8, and BZ Madden at number 11.
Yeah, it's an incredible crowd for top sports show jumping to watch, to just soak it all in. I mean, every single week, almost every class, you're insured to watch some Olympian from some country. It's awesome. For those of the people that are not that familiar with the grounds or maybe haven't been here in a while, there's been so many changes and developments. And I mean, for me, I grew up here since I was 13 years old. I've always split the season. And so I'm comfortable with it, honestly, being about half the size, because there were like only the rings that had actual names to them, none of the numbered rings. But can you tell our audience about the showgrounds? Like, it's just turned into just this, I mean, it's enormous. Just explain what it is.
It is big. It gives you a lot to look at and a lot to see. Kind of our main arena is the international arena, and it's set in the middle of the grounds. So everything kind of works. It looks kind of like a wagon wheel around it. So we have the main grounds, and then there's, you know, elevated walkway all the way around, and our stadium seating for that main arena. And then there's, you know, two main hunter rings, the Jean Mish Grand Hunter Ring and the Rost Arena, and then two main jumper rings on the other side, Magavero and the Denemethy Rings. And then kind of a third layer out from there are numbered rings, which hold a lot of the other hunter, equitation, lower jumper division classes.
And then from there, I mean, it just, so that's, if that wasn't big enough, anyways, those are just the rings, which is huge. Then right. from there, there's just a network of bridle paths that zigzag back into the tents. I should have looked. Right. How many, do you know how many barns we have there? How many barns and tents? I know I was at tent 19 with the ponies the other day, and that's after a certain number of permanent barn numbers.
Right. We have 4 permanent barns, and then the tents go from the permanent barns, you know, all the way back to the back of our property. So there's a lot of tent stabling as well. And I think really, though, a majority of our horses are stabled off-site, too. A lot
off
of
the ground
have farms, you know, surrounding the area, and they trailer or they hack into the grounds, which is pretty
yep.
unique for a horse show.
It really
yeah,
is,
not,
and it's sort of...
There's not too many places where you can just be at your barn and then, you know, you're a half a mile away, and there's bridle paths the whole way to the show grounds. There's not too many places in the world that you can do that.
That's what makes Wellington so special. You know, it truly is an equestrian community. It grew up around the horses, and, you know, I think the WEF is such a special centerpiece to that, along with the dressage, the Global Dressage Festival, and polo that brings so many equestrians to the area. And, you know, we give over $100 million in economic impact just through WEF alone to Palm Beach County every year.
Wow. That's really incredible. I mean, it really has exploded. And you just think about all of the feed stores and the tack stores.
Right.
I mean, everybody, you're very right, those tents, I mean, represent like a fraction of the people. Like a lot of those people maybe just
right.
have a few stalls there even, and they have an entire barn filled with horses just a hacking distance away. And I mean, maybe shipping too, but even just people are comfortable hacking even up to like 20 minutes because it's a nice walk or a trot. So in the morning, it's pretty surreal. You know, you're used to that look with the polo ponies, like,
right.
galloping down the trail early in the morning, and here you're like, wow, there's top sport show jumpers on their way. They are headed to the ring.
Right, exactly. It's pretty
now,
fun, though. I love it.
I have an important question, because one of the things usually at shows that sucks is the food. Is the food any better at the grounds than usual?
Yeah, we have some great vendors. We also have a few different places around the showgrounds that have different types of food. So there's the Tiki Hut, which has a little more like tropical type food, grilled food, salads. There's the Oasis Cafe, which is kind of at the end of our vendor row. You know, they make all sorts of different food that isn't your normal horse show food. It's not cheeseburgers and french fries.
Yeah.
There's Tito's Tacos, where you can get tacos, burritos, quesadillas. And then there's individual food vendors on the property, too.
Yeah, it's
cool.
So big.
Well,
you can
good.
Just walk around, and, like, the spectator entrance, you know, you can park on that side, and as a spectator,
mm-hmm.
you don't ever have to go walk through the barns or be on the bridle path or mess up your shoes. You know, like, people who don't know anything
right.
about horses, they can come in and experience the horse show and all the shopping and everything and not actually, you know, commingle with the horses and the grooms and, you know, everything that's going on to get the keep the show going. So it's a pretty unique setting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, everybody that comes in, the spectators, can get a really good idea for the show and the sport and bring their families, and that's something that we've really tried to do, you know, the past 6 years, is build up the local spectator base and let them know that they're welcome to come. We want them here. We want them to learn about the sport and become fans of it.
Yeah.
How does it
yeah,
work
it does
as
have
far
that feel.
Do the spectators have to pay? What's the deal there?
No, we have free general admission all the time. And then
okay.
Saturday nights when we're busy, we have a $20 parking fee.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
And there's stuff for the kids. There's actually a little carousel and sort of like a little play area. I mean, it's very spectator geared, and that's reality what we need. We need, just like the Trump Invitational, we need spectator draw so that we can build our numbers. I mean, it's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, the carousel is kind of the main highlight of our kids' fair, which we have every Saturday night. So the Saturday Night Lights series, which kicks off this Saturday with our Battle of the Sexes, it goes along with the kids' fair. So we have bounce houses and face painting and pony rides and a petting zoo and all sorts of things because, you know, there's not a lot of young kids that can sit through an hour and a half of show jumping. So we have something there for the families as well. You know, they can get up and go pet, you know, a duck or a goat or something and have fun and get food and then come back and watch some more. So,
and it really, you know, there's always people say, oh, well, you know, do we really need that? As from the, you know, insider exhibitor side of the table, people think, do we really need a petting zoo in the front of the horse show and a carousel and everything? And the reality is, yes, we do, because people who are spectators who don't know anything about show jumping are not going to sit down through a 60 horse class and, you know, a 10 horse jump off or whatever. Like, there has to be a there needs to be some sort of, you know, compromise here. Like with the kids, if you want kids, yes, we need popcorn and we need the face painters, all of it. So I'm a big fan. I think it's where, and the proof is there that it keeps growing. But tell us before we lose you, we're running out of time. Tell us what's coming up on the schedule. What can people kind of come see and look forward to?
So every week we run from Wednesday to Sunday. Anybody's welcome during the day to come watch. This Saturday night is our $75,000 Battle of the Sexes, which is a really fun event. It's teams of 10 women against a team of 10 men. The women have won every single year, which is awesome. Go, ladies.
We need to change that. We need to change that.
We'll see. Watch out. You're outnumbered here.
I know. Jeez.
And it's a two-phase event. It's really fun to watch. They do a speed round, and then they do the match races, which is two riders on course going head-to-head over a mirrored course. And they come down the finish line at the same time, which is really fun to cheer on. And then half of the team then does a six-bar, so they raise the jumps every time and see who can jump the highest to win points for their teams.
They've got good vendors, and there's like a few places you can get a dinner table, and there's like glass pavilions with air conditioning. I mean, you can watch at any level, or you can be with the kids at the petting zoo. You can be in any level of comfort that you want to be, but it is a lot of fun to come see these horses run around. It's they're the best in the world, so come check us out.
Yeah, definitely. And your information can be found at equestriansport.com. So we have schedules and the phone number's there if you need to call and ask questions, and we're definitely welcoming everybody to come out and join us for opening Saturday night.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, Jennifer, I can't believe it's here.
Jennifer, we'll see you. Jennifer and I are, my wife and I are going to be heading down there the beginning of February. So this will be our first chance. I've been to the dressage complexes down there, never to the jumping. So we're looking forward to coming visiting you down there in Wellington coming up.
Great. Well, I'd love to have you down there and show you around the show jumping side of things, too.
Well, you know, as soon as you said the food was good, I was in. And there was a petting zoo, because I don't like sitting through 70 jumpers in a row either. So I'm good.
I might not even. You know, yeah, I mean, seriously, let's be real here. We all like the petting zoo. People stop complaining. Well, thank
you, Jennifer,
so much, Jennifer,
for Jennifer
joining
Wood Media.
Us.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks for
Talk
having me.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Hi.
Let's face it. Nobody wants to sit through 70 jumpers in a row or 70 dressage riders in a row. It's just
Seriously.
Not happening.
Qualifier, people. We need a qualifier.
Emily, I've been to shows with you, and we haven't sat through them all in a row. You have to take a break at some point.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm like that. And I track my riders. I'm like, okay, I'll be here for the 15th, the 17th, and the 27th. Like, it's a lot. And I'm an avid fan. I love show jumping. I could watch a bunch of it in a sitting. But even so, it just, I mean, 60, 70 rounds, come on. It's too much. Five
drag
race or something,
you
know?
They start to look alike after a while.
Yeah, totally, totally. It's not we're down with the petting zoo. We love the petting zoo. We want a qualifier so we don't have to sit through so many horses. Okay.
That now, the area the show jumping grounds are, is that an area where there's other restaurants and stores and stuff, or is it in like a residential area? What kind of area is it?
It is a little bit, I mean, I guess you would call it residential. It was kind of nothing was there originally, and then what popped up were horse farms and homes and things like that. So it's a sprawling horse farm, polo farm, dressage farm, and then very close is that other complex. But I think probably like 2 miles down the road is going to be the heart of town, a mile and a half or something. It's very close, and there's all kinds of shopping. There's a few spots very close to the showgrounds where there's very nice shops and restaurants, and then there's a big mall that's just maybe 5 minutes down the road. So you're in proximity, but it does have its own little bubble. Like there's no chain or strip malls or anything. It's very much a horse complex and horse farms, and it's built up and beautiful, but it's all, you know, horsey. It's a new kind of agricultural. It's posh agricultural.
Right, right. And then just to the west of there is swamp, right? Isn't that how it goes? I mean, you're right on the edge, really.
Yeah, west and south. I mean, we are actually touching the tip of the Everglades, which comes with its own nightmares.
You mean the big alligators and the snakes and stuff?
Oh, yeah. You know, you see it on the news all the time, or like the, you know, Monster Quest. You know, they're always searching for some huge snake or something. They're down here looking like they're here.
Wow.
We actually had a mountain lion
did.
Sighting. This last week or 2 weeks ago, there was a puma cat, like a mountain lion, was here loose. There were many sightings, and they actually had a few pets disappear.
Well, don't leave your small dog out unattended, apparently. Well, you know, one of the things you have to worry about down there, too, is you get a lot of new horses in. You got a lot of babies that are traveling with the rest of them, and you got to get them trained up, right?
It's true. It's very true. And so that's, I think, where the farm plays in, because you need to have a place to do this and you need to have somebody who can do it. So we have our next guest that's coming on is actually somebody that I just stumbled into at the horse show the other day, which I was like, wow, there's a cowboy at the horse show. What's going on? Hey, so we started talking. He was actually with one of my friends. And as it turns out, I've been hearing about him for the last year or two because he's been helping a friend of mine get her baby started. She's been doing a little bit of breeding. And, you know, he'd come with all these rave reviews. So I met him face to face and was like, you know what, this is awesome. This is somebody who's got a background in horses, a little bit natural horsemanship, some dressage, you know, riding, all of this. And he is targeting our community. And others, but, you know, we are in need, truth be told, of some horsemanship. We have people who are breeding, people are in the economy, they're buying young horses, things are going awry out there on many different levels. So this was very refreshing to see somebody. We've got Cliff Shedd is here from Common Thread Horsemanship. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me today, guys.
I'm so glad this worked out. This is super. So, I mean, it was such a breath of fresh air, honestly. So I think just not many people know you because you're sort of new. Is that correct, into the show jumping community?
I am. I was actually born into a hunter jumper family. My uncle is both a trainer and a judge. My mom rode and showed for years. But I took a long hiatus from that when I was really just still a kid. I went out west. I worked for ranches and really great horsemen throughout the west, and just kind of got away from it for a while. But I realized that there's such a need for what I offer in this world that it really made sense with my foundation behind me to come back to this.
That's so nice to hear. Yeah, because it you know, it is very much like that. You don't want to be like, oh, you know, to have it a negative, people are mismanaging their horses or whatever. But the reality is, in a positive light, is that people have to put so much emphasis on the competition side of things. There's a lot that goes into building a top horse, perfecting the inside turn, you know, learning how to, if it swaps off or it bulges its shoulder, whatever. There's a million different things. And so people get very focused on that 60 seconds in the ring, and the horse doesn't load on the trailer. It stands up when you pull its mane, you know, like whatever. There's all these other behavioral issues because there's not emphasis on that. And there needs to be, because they do all go together. So tell us a little bit about how you got started. Like, what has been your experience with these horses?
You know, I think that for me, horses are horses, regardless of discipline. One of the reasons that I call my business Common Thread Horsemanship is because I've really come to learn and find that good horsemanship is just good horsemanship, regardless of the saddle that you're using, the breed of horse that you're riding, the competition that you're entered in. And it really does come down to some really fundamental things. And one of the things that I run into in the show world is that I find a lot of horses are literally, they're just stuck. They're behind the leg. People are kind of begging them to move forward. They're not getting the impulsion that they need, whether it be to get to a jump or in the dressage world. And so that's one of the biggest things I find is just getting these horses lighter, softer, getting them to free up. And this benefits not only the young ones, but it benefits the campaigners as well. You know, I think that when you do the same thing with a horse repetitively, they start to figure out how to get by kind of giving as little as possible. And so that's one of the big things that I run into here. You know, I mean, overall, this world is full of great horsemen and women both that are really doing a great job getting these horses to do amazing things. My goal is to come in and just try to enhance that relationship between horse and rider, try to get these horses so that they're softer, lighter, happier. And that's really my goal there and kind of what I see a need for.
And is your sort of focus, would you prefer to be able to get to these horses and programs and trainers, say when they're, like if you've got, there's quite a few people, a lot of people, and even small operations that are breeding these days. I mean, just maiden voyage, they're not quite sure what they're doing, and they've, you know, breeding, they've got a mare that they loved and a stallion that they saw and whatever, they've got these babies.
Right.
So do you think that that's sort of like, you know, a benefit to be able to get to these programs and these babies when they're young? Or are you seeing that, you know, you can be effective even popping into a program where there's a 12-year-old horse that's maybe regressing and having some issues? Or what are you seeing for,
right,
for your consistency out there?
I look at so much of what I do as fundamentals and foundation. And I think that without a, you know, anybody that builds or does anything would tell you that you can't really build a great house on top of a poor foundation. And so, you know, absolutely when it comes to the young horses, I really love to set these horses up for success, to give them, you know, that foundation that you can always come back to later on as that horse develops. And, you know, a lot of people talk about breaking and this and that, and I really look at it as development. It's young horse development. Everything that we do with a horse, every time we put our hands on it, we're either training it or untraining it. And so I really like to look at, you know, the first, you know, 60 or 90 days of a horse's life as a really great time to instill some lifelong lessons in that horse that are really going to come back to help him later on. That being said, as far as the older horses, the 12-year-old horse that's maybe rearing or bucking or doing something like that, I do love to get my hands on those horses because a lot of times it's a pretty easy fix, and it usually just requires a bit of thinking outside the box and, you know, maybe helping to strengthen the foundation on that horse. The really neat thing about horses is that they are so adaptable that even if you don't necessarily have the best foundation behind the 12-year-old, you can teach him and show him a lot of things with a little bit of patience and a little bit of time. So it's quite rewarding either way, but I do love the babies.
That's nice. I have a passion for the babies too. I love them. So talk to me about that. What is sort of your philosophy? You're getting started the developmental process. Talk to me about that when you're backing the bridle. I mean, what sequence are you going in, or do you have sort
right
of a feeling, you know, like you and I talked briefly about backing with
yes,
the saddle
ma'am
versus not. So little things like that, you know, what do you want to share about that?
Sure. I think that, you know, it's kind of like the saying that, you know, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. And it's kind of the same with horses. You know, is that I really find that watching other guys in the past, you know, that have come before me that have had programs or, you know, they had this direct line way of thinking where they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this with every horse. And, you know, it worked for maybe 80% of the horses, but there were 20% that style wasn't reaching. So I try to treat every horse like an individual. I mean, I do have, you know, I do have a philosophy and I do have an idea of what I want to do with each horse. But I do, you know, some horses, some of these babies that I start, the first ride is bareback. I just, you know, I get them pretty good with me crawling up on them and stuff like that. And then, you know, before you know it, I'm sitting on a bareback, and it's a really low stress way for them to get started. Others, there's just a ton of time and groundwork that goes in before they're even going to allow the saddle on. So for me, I try not to get too hung up on my own agenda, because I think that, you know, a really great horseman is one that listens to the horse and then adjusts to the horse. And that's really what I try to do with these youngsters, is try to adjust to what they need. But that being said, I am really progressive. I think that sometimes we spend a lot of time, you know, waiting and begging a horse to do something unnecessarily, when if we just go for it and we just kind of, you know, move forward, set the pace, be the leader. And it's that is the key component here, is that horses seek a leader. They're herd animals. They're instinctively looking to follow someone or something. So that, you know, that's really the main thing that I try to establish right away, is that I can control their feet, where their feet go, forward, backward, laterally. I can control the speed of their feet. And we do this in the round pen. We do it at the end of the lead rope. And we just get that horse to understand that, you know, they need to respect our space. They need to respect the fact that I can move them. And once you really have that, you start to really have the horse's mind. So that's kind of my program there with the youngsters.
It's very refreshing. It's for sure, the individuality of the horse is such a factor, and that is a bit lost, I think, when people are so busy and they have huge programs. I mean, there are people coming down here with 40, 50, 60 horses, more. I mean,
oh yeah,
but
oh,
more. Yeah. You know, you've been here. So there,
yes.
It's very hard to look at a sea of horses like that and manage them individually, although they all need to be managed individually. They are their own personality and conformation and all of that. So that's very refreshing. I think you're onto it. Just talking to you, I can really see kind of where you're coming from, and you're right on. You're going to definitely make a business here. So how can we get the word out? Where can people kind of get a hold of you? Do you have a website? Are you going to be down here for the whole circuit? Give us a little ear on that.
You know, it's funny. True to a lot of cowboys, I haven't gotten too embroiled in the website thing, although I am working on one now, because I've been told that's an important thing to have in this world. So I am working on that. Most of, you know, I've stayed probably busier than I can handle up north. I've been based out of Long Island for the past few years now, and I've been super busy up there. I do really want to expand to this part of the world. And, you know, everything has been really word of mouth, but, you know, people can get a hold of me. They can look me up on Facebook. That's really been a great tool for me. I've got a Common Thread horsemanship page. I also use my personal page as a business page. And so that's a great way to start, you know, and, you know, that's kind of the best way to get a hold of me right now.
And so are you freelancing? What's your situation? Are you taking horses in on training? Or I know you did some saddle breaking or starting, how you're calling it, for a couple top stud farms. So that's freelance, but what's the other deal?
Yes. Yes. I primarily freelance. I've been freelance for the past few years now. Although I do refer back to my mentors quite a bit. I try to go and ride with them as much as possible, but yeah, it's all freelance. Down here, I am eventually, you know, if things really take off, I really hope to maybe set up a small farm here where I can take young horses in, and that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Well, I got to blame you, Cliff. I mean, it's Long Island in the winter or Wellington in the winter. I think I know which I'd pick.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you about Long Island a little bit. Are there a lot of horses still left out there? Is development approaching and pushing the horses out, or what?
There's a ton. I mean, absolutely. There's a ton of horses, and there's some really, really high quality horses out there that I've been really privileged to work with.
Oh, good, good. Well, I didn't know, you know, if development was kicking them out or they were still hanging around.
No, I think the farms have gotten, you know, some of them have gotten smaller, but there's still an insane amount of horses out there. It's one of the highest concentrations of horses anywhere in the country still.
And you wouldn't
and
think that.
A few breeding farms, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't think that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's quite a few breeding farms. There's a lot of a lot of big training barns. I mean, there's a little of everything there. There's something for everybody as far as the horse community goes up there.
Hey, Cliff, before we let you go, you said about your mentors. Who are some of them?
Well, it's really funny. There's my mentors kind of range through the disciplines. I've always loved what George Morris has to say. I think that George is right on when it comes to, his methodology and his foundation for training horses. I'm also a huge fan of Buck Brannaman. Buck has really shown me and taught me a lot. He's been a great influence over me, as well as even dressage riders like Jan Bronze. I've ridden with Jan a little bit, and I've taken a lot from that. So it really does run the gamut for me. But if you look at what even the three horsemen that I mentioned there, if you look at the three of them, they really share a lot of common denominators in their dedication to the horse, in their their ability as far as in each their specific genre, what they get their horses to do. And I think that's just, that's huge.
And one big common denominator with the three is the concentration on the basics.
Yes.
Making sure you have the basics down. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Foundation.
Well, we're going to put a link to your Facebook page on ours and also in our show notes today. Good luck down there in Wellington, Cliff, and we appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah,
for having me today, and just great show, and keep up the good work, guys. Thank you.
All right,
thanks. We'll see you soon, Cliff. Good luck.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, he seems like a good guy, and, the nice part about he has a background in hunters and jumpers, so that is nice when you have some of these guys coming out of the ranches in the West don't have that foundation in what you guys want. He's going to have that. He's going to have a little bit of both, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah. No, he was very unique. I didn't get to talk to him much. I talked to him, honestly, more today than we did there at the show, but it was very – the contrast was startling to be at Wellington there. I was, like, at the pony ring or something, as usual, and he was there with my friend, and his whole energy, his demeanor and everything, and now really kind of digging into where he's coming from and his thought process. I mean, this guy's for real. He's going to do this, so I would encourage you to try him out. You have any problems, something going on with your older show horse, or geez, those babies people are breeding, and that he's so right. I mean, it's that those first 60 to 90 days, that person's fingerprints will be on that horse for life. You want to make sure that you do that right. So very
well, his
cool.
Job,
I like it.
His job is making sure the horse is right. And then our regular guest, Luann Smith from the Equestrian Corner, is helping us make sure the tack is right. Good morning, Luann.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good.
We're good.
So, Happy New Year.
Thanks. Happy New Year to you.
We're glad to have you back. Now, tell us, what are we talking about today from the EquestrianCorner.com?
I actually got a pair of the Ladies Tough Rider Alpine Quilted Field Boots. They're a winter boot, so they're really warm. They actually kind of look like a field boot, except the uppers of the boot is like a neoprene. So it's completely waterproof, really warm, comfortable to wear right from the, out of the box. So,
like really waterproof? You're a barn
girl.
Yeah. Like water buckets waterproof or just riding
water
waterproof?
Bucket, water bucket. I'm always spilling water buckets on myself, so it's a good thing.
And like the top is a factor, right?
Right.
It'll slide
right
down the top.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, they're nice. They're real tall. They look just like a regular field boot, except that, they do zipper up the back, and then they have a Velcro closure at the top to give you a really tight, secure fit. And like I said, they're neoprene on the leg, and they have the zipper that's, a real good high-quality zipper. They've been really comfortable and warm. I mean, it hasn't been too terribly cold here yet, thank goodness, but I think they're going to do the job, even riding, in the colder days.
How is the footbed? Ariat, they're Ariat, right?
No, actually, they're Tough Rider.
Tough Rider, yes. They do a nice job in the footbed, don't they?
They do. They're comfortable. They're really comfortable. I have a hard time sometimes with boots being too narrow and kind of
cutting off the circulation in my feet, and these seem to be very comfortable in the footbed and stable. They've got a real good a sole on them, so they're not, you know, you're not slipping and sliding all over the place, which is great, especially this time of year when we're having, you know, ice problems and things like that. So they seem
how
to be pretty
the tread
stable.
On them?
They're a nice tread, grippy, like, so...
oh,
I haven't had
good.
Any issues.
And then
in fact,
you can like put your
had...
spurs on and everything, or
yeah, yep, absolutely, absolutely.
So they're
I'm looking at them.
You would say, yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking at them on the website, and it looks like they're not real expensive either. Am I
no,
looking at the right ones at $89?
Right, we have them for $89.95, which is a real good price. I think they're definitely worth that. You know, there's nothing worse than riding and your feet being frozen, you know.
Oh, totally.
Especially
you know,
when
they
you
look
jump
cute
off the
because,
horse.
Yeah, oh my gosh, you're so right. That is just like, the. I mean, you just want to die. It just shoots right up your whole body,
right.
Practically
I know,
your head.
I have a 17 two-hand horse that I'm training right now, and I like to
oh,
lie
my.
Down his neck, you know, when it's really cold because, you know, jumping down that far.
Oh, gosh, I know. And then, like, no matter how good a ride you had, you're like, ah, the shock.
I know, right?
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, these look like they really do the trick. So I'm, like, wondering, I mean, you could you show in these? You could, right? I mean, if it was, like, freezing cold, you could do, like, schooling classes and stuff.
Yeah, I would say schooling classes, definitely. You know, they appear like a you know a field boot, except you know when you get up close to them they you know they are
right.
the quilted neoprene on the top, so you know I wouldn't say you would go to a like a you know a regular show, but like a schooling show I think you could definitely get away with it, you know.
Nice. I like them.
Yeah, I
cool.
thought they were really
and
cute.
Yeah, and how's the height now? How tall are you, Luann?
I'm 5'6".
Okay.
So,
you're really
and
tall.
And they do come. What's that?
You're really tall.
I have an 11-year-old student that's taller than me.
Emily thinks everybody's
you,
tall.
So you're tall to me. So tall, like runway material, probably. Oh my gosh. Okay, so you're comfortable with the height. You felt like it sat
yeah.
nicely.
I do. Yeah, and they do have the calves come in. Three different sizes. It comes in the slim, the regular, and the wide calf, which is nice because, you know, when you're wearing tall boots, it's hard to, you know, you have to be able to have the different sizes, especially when you ride a lot, your calf muscles, you know, are bigger. So they do have three sizes to accommodate, you know, calf sizes. And depending on the, you know, the size of the shoe, it has the calf heights, you know. So, like, I take a 7, so my calf height is a 17.25. So they do, you know, you are going to, they're the same as, like, a regular field boot. They are going to drop a little bit, about an inch, you know, when they break in. So, like, my calf measurement's only, like, a 16.5. So they're starting to break down a little bit to where they're really comfortable now. But, right. you know, people have to do keep in mind that the boots are going to drop, you know, around the calf or around the ankle to
right,
slide down
right.
at your knee a little bit.
Right.
So
maybe you get an
don't.
Inch taller. That's awesome. They got all the sizes. So check them out, theequestriancorner.com. And thank you, Luann, for being our barn girl and testing out these products, giving us the lowdown.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very much appreciate it. So happy New Year, and we will hear from you next month.
All right, that sounds great. Thanks, guys. You have a good day.
Thanks,
Luann.
Bye-bye.
Cool. Where is Luann located, anyway? Where is she at?
She's got to be up. I know I was going to ask that. I thought the same thing. I think she's up in New York. I think she, I'm pretty sure she's up in New York, somewhere around the Westchester area.
Did I see that New York was going to get 4 feet of snow in some parts again today
really?
And tomorrow? I read that this morning, that some of the parts, even into the middle of the state, are going to get up to 2 feet of snow. The lake effect snows have been
Whoa.
Wicked this year, and they're just in this cold front coming across. So they're looking, you can be glad you're in Florida, Emily, and not New York.
Oh, my gosh.
I know you do feel bad because you don't even really experience any bad weather like that. So you almost like don't even realize when other people are like it because the news doesn't blast it all the time. It's just, I don't know, you can get a little bit in your own world, like weather, you know, outside the weather patterns, I guess. But that is bad. I mean, well, hopefully we don't have a bad snow up during the trade show.
No, hopefully not. I agree. My one time a year I have to head north in the winter. I rather like living in Florida now. Well, let's talk Thoroughbreds a little bit.
Ooh, okay, so we have Kristen from the Thoroughbred Incentive Program. We're so happy that she was able to join us. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you all having us.
This is super. So Kristen Leshny is involved with the Thoroughbred Incentive Program, which there's a couple of neat little partnerships and crossover things that are happening this year, which I thought would be fun to talk about. But it's been going on for quite a while. I've been aware of it because I do kind of keep up with the things that are happening. But for our guests that are maybe not familiar with it or are interested in getting involved more, we've got a lot of different levels of listeners. But maybe just give us a little word on how the program started, how long has it been going, and just kind of explain it for us.
Sure, will do. Well, the Thoroughbred Incentive Program is actually sponsored by the Jockey Club. And for those who aren't aware, the Jockey Club is the breed registry for thoroughbred horses in the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. As part of our mission, we maintain a longstanding commitment to aftercare of thoroughbreds when their racing and breeding careers have ended. And the Thoroughbred Incentive Program is just one of the initiatives in the area that we have. And the other ones include our retirement checkoff program, Thoroughbred Connect, tattoo identification services, which is highly used for those folks who may not know what thoroughbred they have. They just know they have a lip tattoo. We also support the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. And then the one that I'm most involved in is what we're here to talk about today, the Thoroughbred Incentive Program. We launched the program in 2011 for our first year of competitions in 2012. And just basically what it does is it recognizes and rewards the versatility of the thoroughbred through sponsoring thoroughbred classes, divisions, and high point awards at horse shows that we approve each year. We also have two annual non-competition awards, and we have pretty new this year self-reported year-end awards that are called the Performance Award Program. And that's something that we are in the midst of right now, trying to figure out who our year-end award winners are going to be. 2015 is going to be really exciting. We'll be giving away about $150,000 in prize money, ribbons, and prizes at over 600 horse shows in the U.S. and Canada. We've got shows this year in 40 states and provinces and some national awards, one at the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association's National Show and also through the American Endurance Ride Conference for thoroughbreds that are doing endurance. We have awards in lots of disciplines, the standards, jumpers, hunters, eventing, dressage, Western. We've even got some in polo, and new for 2015 is something I had actually never heard of before, polo cross. So that's kind of exciting that we're adding new disciplines each year. For the past 3 years of competitions, we've offered awards at about 1,100 horse shows, and over 10,000 thoroughbreds have competed for those awards. So really exciting to be able to talk about it with you and hopefully get some more people out there with their thoroughbreds or maybe encourage somebody to go get a thoroughbred so that they can participate as well.
Totally. I mean, it's such a neat thing, and there are so many good thoroughbreds out there. So there's, I guess, a couple different ways you can get involved. So let's say somebody already has a thoroughbred. What do they need to register? Are they signing up? Is it through their, you know, we've got obviously dressage riders on thoroughbreds and jumping and eventing. I mean, how are you organizing all of us?
Sure. So the first thing is eligibility. For purposes of our awards, a thoroughbred is any horse that has been registered with the Jockey Club. Or we also allow for foreign-bred thoroughbreds that are registered with a stud book that's recognized by the Jockey Club. So if someone imports a horse from New Zealand and it's registered with a New Zealand stud book, we would recognize that horse as well. We do have research capabilities available. So if folks have a horse and they don't know who it is and it's either not tattooed or the tattoo is not real legible, we can certainly help try to identify the horse so that they can participate. We have something called a tip number, which should be obtained for each horse. and then you get a little fancy tip card, and that's what each rider should provide to the horse shows so that they know that the horse is eligible. And then the horse shows just have to report us that number back, and that's how we obtain our results so we can keep track of who's winning our awards. All of the information about the tip numbers and the tip program in general is available on our website, and folks are welcome to reach out to us if they've got any questions or need help with identifying their horse. The website also has our calendar of events, so if you're in an area and you want to know if you've got any tip shows near you, that's where you can find that information.
Well, now, Kristen, I got to ask you, we had you guys on years and years ago when this first started, and I'm glad to see it's working out because so many of these programs we talk about when they first begin never end up panning out, but this one has. Do we see a lot of hunters and jumper thoroughbreds out there?
We do have a lot of hunters and jumpers. The one thing about our program is we cover every level of horse show. So we've got local horse shows, regionally approved horse shows, and then all the way up to the A and AA hunter jumper shows. So we do see a lot of hunter jumpers, especially at those local and regional levels. This year we did add a few of the larger shows, so I'm glad to see that they're coming up, and some of those shows are really excited to be offering awards, and we're actually getting people now, horse shows are emailing or calling me and saying, some people showing at our shows want these awards. What do I need to do? So that's great that people are reaching out to shows and actually asking for the awards.
Do you see them down there, Emily, in Wellington, walking around?
I mean, yeah. You know, I was just thinking, I'm trying to remember what this horse's name was, but a good friend of mine, Devin Ryan, who's one of our sponsored riders, he has a very nice thoroughbred that he was jumping in some of the bigger classes. I think he might have even won at Devon or something. Anyways, yeah, you do see them out there. There are not a lot of them, but they are out there, and I think there's so many of them that really are very good at it. So to have the incentive for people to, I mean, looking domestic is essentially also what it is, because people are looking overseas. They're wanting to buy horses. We've got a lot of good horses here, and for me, I'm a fan of the breeding. I've done a lot of research. I've got my own fledgling breeding operation our first season, but I've done so much research into the thoroughbred jumping lines and all those triple crown lines, all of the big chests. I mean, there's so many of them out there, and you look at the papers, that's jumping blood. There are horses bred jumping with jumping blood on top and bottom, and you can get them for relatively nothing because they're done with their primary career. So I just love it to see people, that sort of revival. And for the guys that grew up on the thoroughbreds back in the 80s, 70s, they're like, you know, championing it, because that was when we had really the most of our consistent success. Top sport show jumping was on the thoroughbred. So people kind of forget that. So what are you seeing for our discipline? Are you seeing those, you're seeing some higher level jumpers, right?
I think we're starting to. One thing that we're trying to do is on our winners page, where we list all the horses that have won our awards, we're including their pedigree. That way folks who are maybe interested in getting a thoroughbred to do jumpers can go and look and see, okay, well, here's some horses that have won quite a few jumping awards at the higher heights or the better shows, and what's the horse's pedigree? And that way they can go out and search the Cantor listings or out at the racetrack or some of the horse rescues and find a horse maybe with a potential pedigree that they'd be interested in based on the success of some of their other offspring. As the program grows, I certainly hope we'll start seeing people seeking out thoroughbreds and maybe get us back to sort of those golden years of the show jumping. I know when we looked to see the horses in the Hall of Fame for show jumping, it was overwhelming thoroughbreds. Historically. So
totally.
It was great to see. And it's like, can we get back there? And I think we
totally
certainly can.
I hope so. So tell me, is there any sort of, what does it look like on the other side of the table for these breeders and the racetracks and the training farms? I mean, are they sort of, they're not really a part of this. This is an incentive for those of us who are looking to pull these horses into competition.
That's correct. So this is mostly focused on the horses that are finishing up their career. We're hoping that folks maybe who are trainers or owners will see that there's these awards out there, and that the sort of end result that I'm hoping for is that folks will begin to realize that sound horses coming off the track have value, and that people will pay, you know, good money for a thoroughbred that can go right into a second career and can succeed there. So hopefully there will be some trickle-down effect to the breeders and the trainers and some of the racetracks, and maybe we can start moving horses out before they've kind of reached the point where they're going to need some downtime in retirement before they're able to go on to a second career.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's the goal. So it's about awareness and getting more of these thoroughbreds in the classes. So if you're thinking about it, you should definitely investigate. They're just a little research will show you what those triple crown lines and the jumping lines are. And there's a lot of them because that's what they're breeding. That's what the racehorse people want, too. We kind of oddly want the same thing. There's a little discrepancy on the size of the animal, but we're definitely sort of looking at the same thing. So you guys should check it out. Build the awareness, and let's help these breeders and these training farms are incentivized to kind of hook up directly with this side of the table and start getting these horses out into the show world. It's definitely where they belong.
That is 100% true. We totally agree. And we, you know, if anybody's got any questions, feel free to reach out, and you know, we'll be happy to try and help.
Now you're going to have to fight the eventers for them because thoroughbreds are really coming back in the eventing community. You know, that went the same way. Years ago, it was all thoroughbreds, and then it went to the warm bloods, and now you see the thoroughbred blood back more and more back into the eventing community than we've seen in a long time.
Absolutely. That's definitely our number one participation. It's funny because we've had some issues with the dressage shows getting a whole lot of numbers of thoroughbreds at those shows, but then our performance awards, which are where people can just submit what they've done with their horses, and we add up points and give awards there. Dressage was our number one applicant by far. So they're certainly out there. It's just, it was really cool to see we were able to capture that group. Eventing is definitely number one, but, you know, as you're aware, those horses are doing dressage too, so it's certainly possible. And I keep getting cool stories of these thoroughbreds that are getting ready to do upper-level dressage, and it's great to hear from those folks and get to follow their careers and stuff. So.
Totally. Well, it's just going to keep going because now there's awareness and now people are sharing. So thank you so much, Kristen, for
taking
the time to talk to us. We love it. We loved having you on. And we'll stay in touch. Maybe there'll be some more news. We could have you on at a later date.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Kristen.
Bye, Kristen. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Heck, if the dressage people can do it, the jumpers can do it.
Right?
Let's just,
seriously.
Yeah.
Case
yeah,
closed.
Anyway. Now you had an opportunity yesterday to get a training tip that's a little unusual, so tell us about that.
This is the best training tip. You got to get the truth from the kids. So we had an opportunity here. One of my star pupils, who's the daughter of a good friend of mine, I've been helping her at the horse show. She is a short stirrup champion, and she learned a really valuable lesson over the last couple of weeks with her pony, and she was really, you know, talking about it and really understanding it and putting it to the test and just winning blue ribbons. She was going on a streak, and then she was circuit champion. I just said, Gigi, you've got to come on the radio and tell everybody about what you learned. So she was excited. We had to do it on her schedule because she's 8 years old and we couldn't pull her out of school. So we did a little pre-recorded, but here she is.
Hey, guys. I'm here with my good friend, Gigi Gilder. We're doing a little pre-recorded deal for our training tip. I tried to pull her out of school so she could record live with us, but it did not go over with the parents, so we are recording. Second best, but she is here. We thought you've got to hear from this kid. She is winning so many classes. So, Miss Gigi, thanks for joining us.
Hi. If you wanted to know how to slow your horse down, you go deep in the corners and then straight up. If you go deep in the corners, she'll slow down, or he, and then if you go straight, you'll change your lead by itself.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, so we got it all at once. That is good. Walk us through it. How did you experience this? First, tell us, how old are you?
I am 8 years old, and I really like the show. It's one of my favoriteest things.
Oh, and you are good at it. You tell the people, what did you get on Sunday? What happened to you?
Well, I kind of tried my hardest, and so did my brother, and me and my brother both got announced to be circuit champion.
Oh, my goodness.
And we both got a cooler.
And you did, and you've been working hard, right? How long have you been riding?
Pretty much for my whole life, pretty much.
Pretty much. So all 8 years. And then how long have you been showing like this, like competitively in the short stirrup?
Well, I nearly started when I was 6 years old.
6 years. Okay, so you've been at it, and so you're quite good. I mean, you were circuit champion. So tell us, ride through the course with us. How is this? So your pony, Luna, she can get a little bit quick. Would you say that? Her step is big. Let's say that. She's got a big step. okay, so like walk us through a course. What does it feel like? What are you thinking? You're doing outside diagonal, right? So it's not about the jumps. It's about what? Tell us how you would ride that course.
I'd ride that course like really smooth, and I would go deep in my corners and straight out to the jumps.
Like straight, like to the middle?
Yes.
And then when you land, how important is it, the backside of the jump, how you ride?
When you land, you should go right straight to the fence. Turn right when it's in time so you don't bump the fence.
Yeah, right? Just right out. And then what happens? You're telling us that those lead changes, they're easy, huh?
Yes. They're harder if you don't go straight, because then you would really have to pull and kick and stuff.
Yeah.
But they'll do it all for you if you go right straight to the jump and everything.
I love it. And we saw it. And you, little Missy, were champion. So that was the proof. So that's Miss Gigi, and we hope that you hear from her soon. We'll have her on maybe for another segment. Thank you, girlie, for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
We'll see you soon. Bye.
She's better than most of the adult guests we have.
Is she awesome or what? She was like, I was a little nervous, but I loved it. I want to come on again, and I'll tell people about all the different kinds of ponies that there are.
You better watch it. She's going to take over your job. She'll be co-hosting
right?
the show soon.
Totally. She could be a co-host. She's so funny, and she loves it. She's really into it, and she rides great. I mean, she really is going to start being a force in the pony ring. She's going to be moving up into the division soon, and, I mean, she's only 8 years old, and consistency is elusive for eight-year-olds. I don't know if anybody else knew that. But not for this eight-year-old. She keeps going in and making it happen.
She's so cute.
Getting dressed can be elusive for an eight-year-old.
Yeah, that's right.
Totally, I know. I'm like, I can't believe. It's really unbelievable. And the little brother, Tommy, is adorable. So he's six, and he does the trot cross rails. But the two of them, and they get along so well, and they're out there showing together. And, I mean, they work hard. They're cleaning the ponies. They're not prima donnas. They're good kids. And it was fun. I was so glad she agreed to it.
Oh, that's good. We'll have to have her back for sure. Well, earlier in the show, we were talking about how the parties haven't gotten totally underway yet, but it's gearing up. And, of course, Jen Blumenthal, who joins us every month, can talk a lot about that. Good morning, Jen.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey,
so we're early in the season, so the parties have not kicked totally up yet, from what I understand.
No, there's still a huge social calendar waiting to start.
Yeah, I thought so. And really, that way, that really gets in swing, when would you say, end of the month, beginning of February is when everybody's there and there's a lot of visitors coming in, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think things start right away. You know, the holidays are over, but I know that the Just World Gala is coming up soon, I think in January 16th, maybe, in 2 weeks. But you know, there's a lot to do down here besides from just the social calendar that revolves around the horse show. There's a great, like, food scene down here, from restaurants to food trucks on Thursday to, you know, I was just talking to people who go to, like, Jupiter or Del Rey, and there's so many restaurants there, and you could go to the ocean, or you could go to a lake and go fishing or deep sea fishing, like, there's endless opportunities. Just around the corner from the horse show is Lion Country Safari, which has all these camels and giraffes. I mean, really and truly, if you're going to come down here and you're going to bring your family or a person of any age, once you're done riding, there's just like a plethora of activities.
Well, you know, we're coming down the beginning of February, and Jennifer will have to go to Lion Country Safari. She's going to have to see that while we're down there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to ride the camel. I'm going to prepare for the show ring on a camel. That's my new training technique. That's my training tip for the day.
That's awesome.
Now,
that's
I
so funny. You see need video.
Riders out at the beach, too. I mean, you have the ocean right there.
You do. I think it's like 20 minutes, to Palm Beach, 20 minutes to Del Rey. Like, you can get to any beach pretty close. The Keys are not that far away. I know a lot of people go down there. You know, Miami's like an hour and a half if you want to go down to South Beach. But, you know, like, being down here really is the best place for horse and rider, because you have the best competition, and then all the riders, not only are you surrounded by your friends and family maybe, but you can ride, and then you can go to the gym. You could go to Pilates. Like, a lot of people go to a place called Pilates Rocks. It's a very big place. It's a Pilates studio. And there's lots of other ones. Or you wouldn't believe how many riders are into CrossFit. That is huge. CrossFit is huge mm-hmm. down here. And then yep. it's funny, you'll see people travel around the country from horse show to horse show, and then they'll find other CrossFit boxes, that's what they're called, and they'll jump into those boxes. So you might be in Old Salem, you might be in California, you might be in Calgary, and you can travel to horse show and you can travel to your CrossFit. And I think that's really cool that all, you know, this is very much a traveling lifestyle. You're always on the road, but for these 12 weeks, you can be in one place and you can have so many things to do. And then when you leave, you can kind of carry those activities with you on the road.
Well, Jen, I got to tell you that Emily's husband called me and wanted to know how he could keep her off the beach and actually doing some work. So
whatever.
Emily.
You do know me. Look, the beach is free. No excuses. I mean, it's like $2 to park.
Some people pay, I think, around $200 for the year, and it gets them 2 seats on the beach with an umbrella with, I think, you know, waiter service. And it's amazing.
Oh,
you don't have to be in a hotel. You just... for $200
wow.
a year, or even they do day passes, and you can have that. And then you can even...
See, Emily, you didn't know about that. You could have had waiters, good-looking waiters with drinks. You didn't know
that
was
the waiter. I know. I'm into the waiter and the drinks and all of that. I'm not into the umbrella. That is not why I'm at the beach.
Oh, I'm into the umbrella. You should see me down here. I got a huge visor on. I got a turtleneck. I don't have but my skin looks white.
I like
white.
The visor. No, totally. I like the visor, but...
yeah, you have
it's
to have
just,
a
I don't know. I love going to the beach. It really, I mean, there's just no excuses, honestly, because the parking is so cheap. If you're not going to get the waiter and the drinks and the umbrella and all of that, it's relatively inexpensive and no excuses.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, they have all those, like you're saying, where you can get an umbrella and the chairs and everything. I mean, when you go out there on the beach, there is just that whole strip of beach, and you've got all of these high-end hotels, the Envoy, the Four Seasons. I mean, you're right. It's a scene a little bit down there. I mean, there's not a ton of people, so it's not overcrowded, but it I don't
it
know. It's
a
like a destination.
But even if you want to stay in Wellington, let's say you want to stay close to the horse show, you want to come down and see the Winter Equestrian Festival and you want to make a weekend of it, you can. There's a Hampton Inn that's close to the horse show, but also
I've stayed there
Airbnb.com.
Yeah.
You go on Airbnb.com, Airbnb, and you there's a lot of offerings for, like, you can either rent somebody's house or rent maybe, like, the pool house, and they range from $60 a night all the way up to probably $1,000 a night. And it's a really nice option in our community to be able to do that. I did that. I Airbnb'd in Washington when I went to the Washington International Horse Show. And it's a great option for if you don't want to do hotels or you can't find a hotel or it's out of your price range. And it's very simple. It's very safe. A lot of people do it. It's a great company. So I totally promote that. So if you're going to come to Wellington, I would suggest either staying in Delray or West Palm Beach, or stay at the Hampton Inn in Wellington, or do Airbnb. And then you have so many restaurants. You have one man, his name is Juan, and he owns several of the restaurants. You have the Seahorse, the Grill, and Ollie's. And then you also have the White Horse Tavern, and it's really and truly great food. And you have really good sushi all over the place. You have Sushimoto. You have Kentucky and Italian. You have so many New Yorkers that have come down to the kissing cousin state, and they've made these great restaurants. You can have any kind of Italian food you want because there's so many different levels of Italian in my mind.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, the restaurants are great. And the White Horse, for those of you who are coming down here, not familiar with the area, that is attached to the Equestrian Club, which is attached to the horse show. So if you want to grab a bite and then you can walk on foot even right over, there's a footbridge that walks right onto the complex through the spectator entrance. So you can do like dinner and a class if you're going to watch one of the Saturday night lights class that Jennifer Wood discussed earlier. That's always a fun thing, but you do want to make a reservation because everybody has the same idea.
Here's my insider's tip. if you don't like the weather outside and you want to watch the class but you also want to go to dinner, you can sit at the White Horse Tavern and they live stream the whole class. So you can have a great meal, watch the horse show, and you can see the lights not very far away. And if you feel like wandering over that bridge, the short walk.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, totally.
The horse show's done a great job with, there's a carousel, there's always like activities, face painting for kids, and then, you know, there's the class, of course. There's usually a concert a couple of times during the season. And just to even walking around the horse show, around the proximity or the around the ring after the class, there's lots of things happening. And then there's even a little bit of what we call a little bit of a nightclub. It's called the gallery. And that's a fun thing to do. So if you, if any of our listeners out there, really and truly, if you want to come to the Winter Equestrian Festival, it's not just to watch a horse show. You could have a whole stay of it.
Yeah, it's like a total vacation spot. I mean, you can, it's, it really is. There's everything here. And then for us that are here for the horses, it's just like, wow, like it's just such a treat that you get to, like you're saying, stay in one location because everybody travels around all over the place. And the reality is in a lot of the places that everybody goes to, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing.
So this, and there's great shops. Awesome. We have shopping on the horse show grounds. So we have all these traveling boutiques and we have special vendors that show up just for the horse show, all the way from, you know, everyday clothes to, you know, the top riding lines. Hint, Emily, to, you know, anything you want, as well as you drive, you know, maybe 20 minutes and there's some outlets close by. You could go into Palm Beach, which is like equivalent to Rodeo Drive or Fifth Avenue. Like, you really have a broad spectrum of shopping, activity, housing.
All different levels, you're right, There's
you
everything
really,
and
for
the
everybody.
The other thing you have to do if you've never been there before, especially Palm Beach area, is you have to just take a ride down Ocean Boulevard and check out the where the rich people live. Some of those houses are just amazing down there. Right.
Totally.
And the beach. That's right.
That's
and
why
you,
the beach is
and,
so
and
pretty.
Emily
You've
told
got all
me
those rich
you,
people living in those houses.
And Emily told me if you go a little further south toward Miami, there's a nude beach. So that's where she's spending the other half of her time.
There's actually like a nude beach or nudist community there in Loxahatchee, I heard. It's like really like right here.
Oh, geez. I was joking, Emily. Yeah. I didn't know.
There really is. I heard that the other day. I was like, really? It's like right there on B Road and like they've been there forever and we're like encroaching on their territory.
And then there's Port St. Lucie.
Hey, I see some new classes coming. I see some new classes.
Oh, God. I mean, they're like probably 5 miles from the horse show. It's outrageous.
Hey, you
want to
get the spectator count up? There you go. I have great
ideas.
Oh,
you're right. You're right.
Yes.
How important is the spectator count? Come on, people. We know it's that important, whatever it takes.
How dedicated are you to
your sport?
We'll
have Lady Godiva out there on one of the Grand Prix horses. Oh, God. Make it happen.
Jen's sorry she came today. She's sorry she showed up.
I know we've derailed. Oh, my gosh. So that's not something that you can do in Wellington. All of the other things are things that you can do in Wellington.
Oh, you can do them. Jen, what's your website?
My website, this is barnmanager.com. We do office management and billing for horse professionals, horse individuals, horse lovers. We'll take care of you, and you should check us out.
Barnmanager.com. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, Jen. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Sounds like she had a cold that's going around right now.
I know, poor Jen. So many people are sick. I'm terrified. I hate getting sick.
Well, tell us a little bit about Ask Equestrian. What's going on with your company?
Oh, my gosh. Keeping me busy. We have so many custom orders, which is like Christmas morning. I love to open the production box when it comes from the factory, and, like, it's everybody else's logos that I know. It's so cool. You can put your own logo in the collar. You can pick your own snap. You can put your own embroidery. And my logo is not even on it. It's like a private label deal. It's awesome. People love it. So we've been cranking those out. We're seeing them out on the showgrounds. It's so just fulfilling, really. It's a new creation. Every time we make a piece, people have different specifications, and they are all very unique. So that's fun. And then probably maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, I want to say, we are going to have the arrival of this season's jackets. And we've got new colors, new styles, and we are going to
to be announced. I haven't set the date yet, but we're going to do like a little trunk show, a little wine and cheese, a fashion show. We'll have something here, maybe mid-circuit, for everybody to see the new styles. But they look cool. I'm really excited. I think this is going to be a big year for us, so stay tuned.
And we're going to get to see you. Actually, I'm going to get to see you the end of this month up in Philadelphia for the ADA show for the American Equestrian Trade Association.
Oh.
And we're looking forward to hanging out with you up there a little bit.
Yeah, totally. That'll be fun.
And, of course, we'll doing a live show here. I think it's February the 1st or something like that. February the 2nd, we'll be doing a live show from the American Equestrian Trade Association. So we hope that you'll stop over and join us for a couple minutes.
Oh, sweet deal.
That.
I totally will. Yeah.
That sounds good. All right. Well, that's about wraps it up for today. Jamie and I will be back, and Jennifer will be back tomorrow for a normal Wednesday show here. And then Thursday is Road to the Horse. Tammy will be here, and, of course, we'll be talking Road to the Horse, which is coming up the end of March in Lexington, Kentucky. That's coming up pretty quickly as well. It just seems like I was just at Road to the Horse 2 weeks ago, and it's been a year already.
Fast year. Everybody's saying it.
It is true.
What does that mean?
And as you find out, Emily, the older you get, the faster it goes, and that is true, too.
It's true, which is kind of cool.
I was hoping it would slow down a little, so it seemed like you are around longer, you know. As I'm getting to 52, I told your husband I had no suggestions. I had no recommendations.
So
I don't know how to keep you off the beach. I don't know how that's happening.
No, it's impossible. Yeah. No, I love
I was joking about the nude beach, and now you say it's true.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. No, I know, I just only heard that. I was like, really? I mean, like, when you come down here, you're going to be like, really, here? Like, wow, I mean, what a clash of cultures.
Well,
people
like to get naked, too. So.
I guess so. I mean, they've been here for a while, and they're not going anywhere, so I guess that's proof. They're running a successful business
their territory.
Or community.
I mean,
yeah,
you don't have a nudist colony in New York and Buffalo. It's too cold. So
no. But they were here. I bet you're right. I bet they were here before we were here. But
well, I'm
so
telling
funny.
You, there's a whole new line of classes we could sell out thousands of tickets. It would be great.
I think we need to pitch it to Jennifer Wood next episode. We'll put her on the spot.
Of all the tickets sold. We'll organize it and get a cut of all the tickets sold. Finding the riders might be an issue. We're going to have to really the prize money is going to have to be really good, I think.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know. It may be easier to get sponsors like this.
Easier to get riders. We'll just show up on Sunday night at that club, and we can get all the riders we want. Those are the kind of riders we want for this class.
Yeah, we need the late-night drinkers. Oh, my God. So funny.
Well, Emily, thank you so much. It's sequestrian.com. It's the website where you can find Emily and her work over there. Plus, if you want to listen to past episodes of Emily's show, the Jumping Radio show here, you can go to horsesinthemorning.com and just search for Emily Thompson, and that'll pop up all the past shows right there. You can take a listen to all of them. Of course, the easiest way to listen to our shows, all of them here on the Horse Radio Network, is on the Horse Radio Network app. It's free. It's easy to use. The iOS or Android app store, just search for Horse Radio Network. Download it and listen away. That is the simplest way to do it. You can listen while you're riding, while you're cleaning stalls, while you're driving in your car, whatever. It just makes it so, so simple to do. And what did I miss, Emily?
I think that's it. I think you covered it. Facebook me if you want a pony. We'll finish with that.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Inbox.
If you'd like a Emily trained pony, then Facebook Emily. She'll take care of that for you.
Post on Facebook if you want to see Emily riding scooter when she comes up.
Yeah. I want to ride scooter.
Your votes count.
Can I have you sign a disclaimer and a waiver first that we're not paying for
is
your broken
like
bones?
He's not rideable.
I don't know. That's why we're
Jennifer's setting me up.
I don't know.
She's setting
me up. That's
people
why,
like to do that to me regularly. It's sort of a running joke. But yeah, okay. We'll give it a go.
Did you bring your little saddle along? We don't have anything that's going to fit him. So
oh my
bring
gosh.
Something little. Yeah.
I learned that, man, with the ponies. You have to put a child saddle on or all of a sudden it's horrifying. You'll be like cantering and your saddle like surpasses the withers and takes like a nosedive like a roller coaster down onto the neck. You're like, whoa, it's falling off like so fast. Like, oh my gosh, you go from everything's fine to like, you know, you leave your stomach behind. It's awful.
One of the advantages to being Emily's jockey size, you get thrown on all the little ones. They just think you should do it.
Just remember to bring your little saddle.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Cool. See you soon, guys. Bye.